Okay, Erev Tov, Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim is a loaded parsha. Person who you get a really good, if you can get a good tefisa on Chumash and Rashi, the pshat is you could probably cover large amount of Bava Kama, large amount of Kiddushin and Bava Metzia. You really get a good you really get a good holding on Shas if you do Chumash Rashi well. First idea I want to speak about tonight. It's found in says the pasuk in Parakhov Beis towards the end of the parak. The pasuk Chafei Chavav says the pasuk in Chabol Tachbol Salmas Reecha Adbo Hashemesh Tashivenu Lo. Right, at the end of the day, sort of talk about extending loans. Right, Ki Kesusa Levada VeHisim Lasu LaOro BaMei Yishka VaAya Ki Yitzak Elai VeShamati Ki Chanun Ani. Right, this is the psukim regarding the Indian of extending loans, helping out a friend, understanding the sensitivity of another, and the pshat is the pasuk ends with ki chanun ani. It's because I am chanun, because I am not really sure how you want to describe it. I'm mercenary, compassionate, exactly. That's the official English term. What's the pshat? That's what we want to figure out. What exactly is pshat in chanun in terms of being compassionate regarding extending of loans? What's the lashon of chanun? So explains the Ramban on the spot. V'shamati ki chanun ani, says the Ramban, choneinu mekabel tchinas kol adam af apishenu hagur migzeiras chinam. So what's the pshat? I like almost like Kodesh Baruch Hu, am compassionate and accept the tefilos, the tachanunim of every single person, even if he's not hagun, even if he's not roy. So from here, what do we know? From here, we learn out that our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're talking about the Indian of tefila, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts and listens to the tefila of all those. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu has mercy on all those that reach out to him through tefila. Meaning the tzaddikim and even the rishon that reach out to Akash Baruch Hu, also Akash Baruch Hu has mercy on. And from this, Revolbi has notes, and he says a ha'ara that tzvila isn't dependent on the madrega of the tzidkas ha'adam. If this person, he's more righteous, so therefore his tefillas, have a better chance of being listened to. There's an inyan of, being close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, not being close to the tzaddikim and the rishon, sort of gzar din, but the truth is, comes time for tefillah. Every person, when you're a tzaddik or rush, you have a heart. Any tzaddik or rush that wants to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu, they can. They have to open up. Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to everyone. How do we know this? Says the pasuk. What's the pasuk saying? Ashrei karov Hashem l'chol karov l'chol asher kruhu v'emes. Right? Whoever wants to get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu can get close, but you got to be for real about it. You have to be very real. Very real in terms of getting close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but that shows. But the deal is that again, it could be anyone. No matter what your situation is in life, no matter how much of a tzaddik or a rasha you are, if you want to get close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you can through the tefillah itself. And that's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants us to reach out in a genuine way. To get close to him, because we spoke about this earlier in Sefer Bereishis, and the different part, I think, in different parshas, we spoke about the koach tefillah. We mentioned again the goal of tefillah is it's not to get a person needs something so he reaches out. These aren't for favors. These aren't like requests. Rather, what the ultimate goal of tefillah is what is to achieve kirvas Hashem. The overall experience, the experience of tefillah is in order. So the results are supposed to be that we just have that we can become closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this inyan of tefillah again being done in a real genuine way. It's possible for anyone to do it, but we have to figure it out in terms of we have to also be practical. A Russian wants to daven. But it can't just be, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to do rishis night, and I think, oh, I daven three times a day, and I sort of shuckle, and I pretend like I know what the words mean, it's all going to be good. No, a rush is able to reach a Kodesh Baruch Hu, tefillah is able to reach a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but he has to, you know, be very realistic with himself. He has to, you know, he gets to davening, he's speaking to God. God, I understand. I am a rush. I've done bad things. I am genuinely, you know, sincerely sorry for that. I'm genuinely sorry for that and sincerely apologetic for that. And I am trying to do better. And I will try to stop sinning. And I want to do tshuva. I want to become closer to you. But he has to be very genuine about that. After he does that, it doesn't matter what his past is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to have mercy on him, and therefore he's willing to listen to his tefillos. And this also goes in terms of, let's say, beyond Rishon. Let's say Bnei Torah. Bnei Torah also, when they daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they daven a lot for their Hatzlach and Limud, to be able to make Kinyanei Torah, to have a lot of Yediyas. But again, we also have to be practical. It can't be that a Ben Torah is gonna daven Shemone Esrei and you know with all this mind and start crying and please Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you know, help me finish Shas by tomorrow. That's just not gonna happen. A person has to be very real about these things. A person has to be very, very, very sincere and genuine and also very realistic. You know, Rabbi Hakadosh Baruch Hu, please help me understand exactly Pshat in this week's sugya. Or, you know, let me able to have clarity, you know, on this daf today, before afternoon seder. Let me get the Gemara Rashi, let me get Pshat Klar. So really to summarize, you know, the main points of this first idea is that A, it's really usher for a person to feel that, you know, he's not right for tefillah. Like, this tefillah is, you know, only for, you know, this concept of davening is only for the mikubalim. You know, we'll give tzedakah and a group of tzaddikim will daven for us on our behalf. So why? Because only their tefillahs can reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, true, a tzaddik has a koach tefillah, but that doesn't come to the expense of our own tefillahs. We try. You guys are unbelievable tzaddikim, unbelievable bnei Torah. But I assume most of you guys aren't learning Kabbalah. You're not like quote unquote the mikubalim. But still, don't sell yourself short when it comes to tefillah. You have a tremendous opportunity to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Don't think that you're not really. Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to all of our tefillahs. And again, it's also understanding the opportunity a person has three times a day to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not just the hischaivus, you know, oh, we have to daven three times a day with the minyan. It's much more beyond that, right? The goal, the opportunity to achieve kirbas Hashem. And three, what's the pshat? The Ramban at the end, he says, what's the pshat? What's the lashon of chanun? Is that what? That it's, says the Ramban, migzeras chinam. It's almost like pchinam. Pchinam in modern Hebrew means for free. That you should feel free. Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to all tefillahs. It doesn't matter what that. Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us unconditionally. Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillahs unconditionally. He's not expecting anything in demand. You don't have to pay a price to daven shacharis. There's no. You don't buy tickets to daven shacharis three times a day. To daven Shemone Esrei three times a day. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. But it's not even expensive. Yeah, it's very valuable. We have to realize its value. And sometimes we take tefillah for granted, but the goal is the pshat that's pchinam. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is here listening, is just waiting for us to be real with us. You know, feel free. Kodesh Baruch Hu listens, and don't feel. You know, sometimes it's hard because it's very, very hard to sometimes understand. You know, the concept of tefillah, that it's free and that it's on such a special koach. Because sometimes we don't see our tefillahs necessarily come to fruition. Sometimes we really doubt for something and it doesn't happen. You know, it might not happen right away, or sometimes it takes a long time to happen. Sometimes you don't realize that it happened. It's, a lot of these cases, it's very, very hard. But the main thing is to realize that tefillahs don't go unanswered. Lav dafka, you know, a person, you know, has a special kavanah. Lav dafka, you know, maybe it wasn't meant for you to get this type of thing. for you to receive, let's say, this, you know, person, you know, when he's younger, he davens for an Xbox, you know, please let me get an Xbox for happy come with presents. And he doesn't get the Xbox. Okay, it doesn't mean that those tefillos are now going to trash. It could be who knows with the story. It could be you're supposed to chas v'shalom, person to get, you know, knocked over by, we're supposed to be in a car crash almost. And because that kol chatzilah, Kadosh Baruch Hu spared him. And it could be that, you know, your tefillah is also helping for someone else. Rav Yitzchak Cohen, one of the Rosh Hashiva of YU, was zocha to learn bechavrusa for quite a couple months. We learned together. He once told me a sod in tefillah that lav dafka, when a person davens, you know, even though it might not be helping, you in particular on that particular day, but who knows? Maybe that tefillah was put in some bank in Shemayim that's going to help, you know, some kid who nebuchs off the derech that's living in Waco, Texas, next to Baylor University, a Jew who, you know, let's say isn't so affiliated, but might need some special siyata de Shemaya, but doesn't know what the kochat, doesn't have that kochat tefillah, doesn't even know what tefillah is. But it could be because of your schusat tefillah, maybe those schuyos could get transferred to that person. So adkan idea number one. Idea number two is connected all the way back into the beginning of this week's parsha. Right? We know this week's parsha starts with what? The Eile Mishmatim Asher Tassim Lefnehem. These are the mishpatim that you should put before you. And what exactly is the pshat? It implies that, again, these are just dinim that are, you know, very, very logical, very sikhli, that are mishpatim, dvarim that are very pshutim, logical laws, as opposed to what's the opposite of mishpatim? Chukim are what? Those are much more formal dinim, much more formal laws, with much less svara, with much less explanation. Rashi on the spot asks, the Eila Mishpatim. Right, says Rashi, Komakom Shnemar Eila. Eila without the Vav. Pustles are Rishonim. It's coming to cancel out that which was previously stated. The Eila Mosafal Rishonim. The Eila is coming to what? Is coming to connect the previous statements, the previous teachings. And my Rishonim. So what were these previous things? Af Elu Misinai. It's connecting the inyonim from that which we heard in last week's parsha Maimed Har Sinai, the Asaras HaDibros, and the Maimed of Kabbalah Sator, the receiving of all the mitzvos, and the emphasis is that even though there's a connection that, again, these dinim were also given at Har Sinai through Al Yedei Matan Torah, and they're being mentioned here again. So the question is, I don't understand. Rashi's making this whole emphasis of the Eile, right, connected to Har Sinai, and that it was mentioned, and it's very, so we told this, so everyone knows about it. So if everyone knows about all the dinim, explain to me, why in the world do we have this whole Parshat Mishpatim to have to go through every single din back and forth with all these Rashis? And we have to make the Shai Shnai Mikra session of Chumash Rashi a nightmare for the next week. Why does it have to be? What's the Chiddush of having to add it again? What's the Chiddush of having to, if we're trying to connect it? Okay, we got it at Har Sinai. We got it with all the other mitzvahs. That's it. You have to go through all the details. Okay, we understand them. They're sending simple dinim. Thank you, Kosh Baruch Hu, for teaching us these dinim. We know them already. You know, okay, so we won't be disrespectful. You know, right away when we got Kabbalah Satorah, right? When Kosh Baruch Hu presented us with all these dinim on Parshas Mishpatim, where you'll hear at the end of the parsha, what was our reaction to when Kosh Baruch Hu said, "You want the Torah, you want to be our nation"? What did we say? We said the two famous words of Natsav and Nishma. I always like to say the Natsav and Nishma. Where does that appear? Perek Chaf Dalid, Pasuk Zion, 24/7. 24/7. So you saw that. I always like to say is that a yid always has to have that mentality of, when it comes to Emunas Chachamim and Das Torah, especially Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We like to do what we're going to do. We're supposed to do and fulfill Ratzon Hashem. After we'll ask the questions and we'll understand the svaras behind it. Right? We understand that we want to define the whats before, then we get to the, and afterwards we'll get to the whys. But anyways, so what's the pshat? We already knew all these Dinim and Matan Torah. So why do you have to tell me all this again? So answers Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus, that's who he wrote Shar B'Tfila. I think he also wrote Shabbos Malkus. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. Nevi Shimshon, that was him, or that was Talmidim. So he was a big Talmid Chacham. I think, unfortunately, many years ago, I think he was killed in a car crash. Very, very, like a horrific car crash. But anyways, he answers that, what's the pshat? If we didn't, make this connection of teaching in Har Sinai and giving its own set of parshin mishpatim with all the dinim and trying to connect the two, there would have been a habamina that what? People would have taken these dinim very, very lightly. Why? Because they're logical. They're svaras. These aren't chidushei Torah. Rather what? These are what they call like the code of ethics. These are just moral boundaries. Don't damage. Don't be a jerk. Do this, do that. Simple laws. Rather what? Therefore, the Torah had to make a special emphasis on what? That these things came from Har Sinai. And these things, even though they might appear logical, these are not so pashut. These are Dvar Hashem. These come from Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if without it, we would have just thought, these moral laws, so we could have been flexible with them, right? A lot of times, there's ethical rules. There's what we call, standards of society. But sometimes those change. Why? Sometimes society changes. Sometimes the Metzias changes. Reality changes. In terms of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate to do. Over the generations, things have become more makubal, and things have also become less accepted in society in terms of what our standards are. So therefore, we have to make this special emphasis on these quote unquote simple matters. They're not as simple as you might think. And the yesod again is that again, every aspect of the Torah, every word, every pasuk in the Torah is coming to be mechadish something. Even though we think that it's even though it might appear very simple, and it's such a yesod that the fact that the Torah has something to say about everything. Like right, I don't know if you're familiar with who Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein is. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein is a tremendous posek in Eretz Yisrael. Lives in Bnei Brak. He's the Rav of the Ramat El Hanan neighborhood in Bnei Brak. He's one of Chavam Wetz Gedolei HaTorah in Bnei Brak. Tremendous posek, son-in-law of Rav Eliashiv, brother-in-law of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he has many halachic shurim. He has many svarim, he has some tshuvas, and he actually has svarim that speak about wild cases. And the most notable, I think, that in English they made it like "what if." I think in Hebrew it's the Vaharavna. He has Tuv Chayabiu. He has a different svarim. I think Vaharavna I'm very 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 familiar with. And he brings very wild cases that are connected to the parsha. But what's the pshat? Like you read the case, you're like, come on. Did that story actually happen, or is that really the Metzias? The answer is, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. But that's not relevant. What's relevant is that what? That always in the answer is always connected to the parsha. It's always connected to some din in the Torah. Why? Because that's the yesod. Because no matter how crazy certain laws or rules are out there, certain cases that go on in the world, that's the beauty of the Torah. The Torah has something to say about every single thing. So I've got idea number two. Idea number three is our final idea. We'll end with this. Is something that takes place regarding the Isser of Basar B'Chalav that appears in this week's parsha. It says in Parak Chav Gimel, Parak Yutes. And it says Lo Sivashel Gidi B'Chalav Imo. You shall not cook a kid goat in its mother's milk. And it's also noted, Rashi also notes for us that that this is actually not the only time this is mentioned, this din. Right, says Rashi, v'shalosh mekomos nichta b'Torah. Right, it's written two other times in the Torah. Right, once, first of all, here in Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yutes. It's also mentioned in Parshas Kisisa, Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Lamed Vav. And it also appears in Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Chav Aleph. The same words of Lo Sevashel Gidi Bachelav Imo, not to cook. Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Chav Aleph also says over there, Lo Sevashel Gidi Bachelav Imo. You shall not cook a kid's goat in its mother's milk, and Chazal Darshan. Now, what's the pshat? Why is the exact same pasuk, the exact same isser, written three times? It said Chazal answer, because it's coming to teach us that regarding basar b'chalav, there are three separate isurim. The first isser is what? There's an isser of achilah, it's usher to eat meat and milk together. The second one is that what? There's an isser bishul, it's usher to cook meat and milk together. And the third is also an Isser Hana. It's usher to be nene, meaning let's say to sell cooked meat and milk together to, let's say, non-Jewish people. So, yeah, it's usher to be nene. You're not allowed to benefit. It's not usher for yid. A guy is allowed to, let's say, according to his code of law, he's allowed to eat a cheeseburger. But the pshat is a Jew can't be nene from that.
If you sold it and gave that money to charity.
That's definitely a shalot. That's not so posh. That's almost like a mitzvah haba b'aveira. Almost, I guess, right. To try to do a mitzvah at the expense of an aveira. It's a mefur. It's an issur. That's more of a sugya mitzvah haba b'aveira. How do we define the mitzvah? Is if the mitzvah doesn't count? But that's definitely a very very good point that you made. So that's just in terms of the basic background, in terms of the actual isser, the actual losase of Bas Bechal. Let's maybe try to deepen it a little bit and sort of maybe explain, it's on so many people that really take a crack in terms of explaining what's the svara, you know, behind this isser. You know, from what I've heard, I've spoken to non-Jewish people, a cheeseburger tastes pretty geschmack. I'm not talking about one of these, like, you know, like over the counter, 99 cents from McDonald's or Wendy's, where, you know, the burger patties and these cheeses are like, you know, they put all these chemicals, have given, you know, a lot of, you know, shelf life, and it's like that's not even real meat. But I'm talking, you know, a geschmack, a good quality piece of meat with some, you know, Parmesan cheese. What's the whole reason behind that? So Rav Hirsch beautifully explains is that meat and milk each symbolize something of an animal. In the basar represents the life of an animal and the muscles and its physical appearance. And the chal of the milk represents its reproduction, the fact that animals reproduce. And by animals, they don't really think. They don't really have thoughts. They don't really have feelings as much. They, you know, are they base their they base themselves on instinct, right? They just have bodily functions, right? They eat. They reproduce. They live. That's what they do. They sort of combine, you know, these two aspects of their buster aspect and the chalav aspect. Jewish people, that's not the hashkafa. The way a human being is supposed to be, that's not the proper hashkafa. You know, we have our machshavas. We Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a brain to use. That we have different aspects in life. We're multifaceted. We have different sides of ourselves. You know, and it's not that, again, it's not that we're quote unquote a chas v'shalom person living a double life, but a person living a broad, as you know, in Shalom, a person living a broad life, but again, but there's different aspects. A person is supposed to do different things at different times, a person is supposed to relate in different ways to different situations and in different circumstances. And we're not like, you know, right? We're not trying to combine, you know, quote unquote, the meat of life and let's say the milk of life. There's different things. I always like to say, you know, there's a time and place for everything. prefer, sorry, if you mean probably for most things, the time and place. But you have to figure out when is the right time. You learn, there's a time for learning. You want to plan certain things, time for planning. And a time to chill. You want to chill, you figure out when's the good time to chill. Sleep, you figure out when's a good time to sleep. You play ball, you figure out what time is to play ball. You eat, you eat. But when you sort of try to converge the two, right? Don't do these things at the wrong time. You want to live an organized life, an organized yasha life. Structure your day. Make designated times to do certain things, and then stick to the schedule. Be misudar. Be organized. Don't try to mix the two. For example, it's like you have like people, learning in Seder. The Minas Chavrus, they're in the middle of a Rajba, right? They're discussing a Rajba, let's say a Shia, some Rajba Bava Kama. And all of a sudden the other one, brings up, let's say, something about the Super Bowl. Let's say the day after the Super Bowl. So in the middle of the Rajba, they're starting hot talking about the Super Bowl. This one guy talks to the other Chavrus, it's like, what are you doing? Like, this is not the time, for the Super Bowl. What was that? Whatever. So it's like what you said on the flip side, right? You're watching an NFL playoff game. You're watching a football match. All of a sudden you're watching the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden in the middle of the Super Bowl, someone brings up a Rajba. What's the person doing? Doesn't make sense. So it's almost like it's almost like a shtickle musser. It's like sometimes we find the times when we're learning to somehow bring up all these mundane matters in life, talk about sports, talk about other external matters. But when we're doing all those other external matters, like, rarely we'll find Torah discussions that'll emulate from that, right? When you're watching a game with friends, a chakir in the ketzos is not coming up, but yet sometimes we slip up and we open up ourselves a little bit when we're actually in the middle of the chakira the ketzos and we're talking about last night's game. So it's quite fascinating. It's quite fascinating. But again, the ikar yisod is again to be mavdil to be able to differentiate between all the different aspects of life. But again, to take all these aspects and try to apply it to our lives. Right? Our purpose in this world, discuss again, to be Ovdei Hashem. Different aspects, right? There's different ways of being an Eved Hashem. There's different aspects of Avodas Hashem. But if you have to know what time of the day it is, what part of your life are you holding at, to go in this type of Avodas Hashem mode, to go into that type of Avodas Hashem mode. But when you start trying to combine these types of this Avodas Hashem type, Avodas Hashem X, the Avodas Hashem at the time of Avodas Hashem Y, or in the setting of Avodas Hashem Z, it doesn't really stim, and a lot of times there's a lot of conflict and it could mess up a person's topic in terms of being an Eved Hashem. So the main yisod of this is again, that's the yisod in terms of baser b'chalav. You have to understand, when you're supposed to be a quote unquote a baser Jew, and to figure out quote unquote when you're supposed to be a chalav Jew, when you're supposed to represent this aspect of life, and when you're supposed to represent that aspect of life, and not really to mix, right? You find this idea also in terms of like all these other ideas in terms of like mixing, just not the hashkaf of Judaism. We have these other yisurim. I don't necessarily love that. I don't know if it's for sure the pshat. We don't really know for sure the reason. Maybe we talk about like klayim, like when there's this of Klayim, and maybe also by like shatnez, right? Right. The Torah prohibits, us to certain grafting yisurim, or certain yisurim mixing linen and wool on your clothing. But it's probably it could be based on this main theme of hashkafa that the Torah wants us to live. For us to have our mind to be set, to be straight, to figure out in terms of where we're holding in life, in terms of what exactly we need to do. So I'd come with that idea, and again, these are the main things to summarize. Again, we mainly spoke about how things just aren't as pushed as it seems. That again, that we have to dig deeper in terms of understanding again the power and the opportunity of tefillah. B, understanding that the simple laws in Mishpatim, the simple rules, are not so simple as they seem. And C, understanding the way understand the way we conduct our lives. It's not just, you know, one simple, you know, mumble jumble, that it's one whole package. Rather, it's not so posh. It's rather much more complex. That again, each the way we conduct our lives is a very, very, very specific and mechanical, and each aspect of our lives, you know, should hopefully, Bezat Hashem, have a positive effect on our growth in Avodas Hashem. Have a great night.